You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
look, up in the sky, it's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro, me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics, I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book box.
Right,
that's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcasting through the facilities of Trent Radio 92.7 CFFF FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Adam Bishop, and today the one person with me is...
Chris Ellis.
Chris, I don't know where everybody is.
I don't know. Everybody's sleeping today, I guess.
I'm hoping everyone is ready to listen to us struggle, just struggle to find stuff to talk about. But I think we'll do okay.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. So last time we talked, you hadn't seen The Batman yet, but I guess now you have seen The Batman.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be our first thing to talk about. Tell me about The Batman, because I haven't seen it. And
you haven't seen it yet.
No, everyone knows I'm not a big DC guy. So for me, it's spoilers for everyone listening and for me as well.
You know what? I prefer not to get spoilers, so I'm not going to give too many away. I went in with low expectations, like I do with most Warner movies.
That's sure. A Sony thing for me. So if it's a Sony movie, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, it's so I was like, I don't know about another Batman movie. Every time they say that a Batman's going to be terrible, he turns out to be pretty good though. So I was like, I got to give this guy a shot. And surprise, it was good. I really enjoyed it. It's not the flashy Batman that you're used to. Like he has all of the money, but he's kind of still young in his experiences. And so it's a little different on that aspect of it. It's the first time that you actually get to see him kind of becoming Batman. Like I know they did that with the Nolan movies, but even still, like, you know, he had like the whole military backing stuff, all that behind him. Right. And this is the first time that you don't, really, he doesn't have any of that, which leads to the Batmobile. When I first saw pictures of it, I'm like, what a piece of crap.
I haven't seen pictures of it yet. I don't even know what it looks like. No,
it looks like a street racer car, like from hell. And it's black, but it's not fancy by any stretch of the imagination. And it just looks like something you'd see like kind of bastardized on like the Fast and the Furious movies or something.
Does it have a Batman symbol on it still?
No,
really?
No, but it was just kind of, and then he drove the car and he like when he started it and it was just like, okay, I get it now. I get it. I understand why they did this. And again, it's because he doesn't have that military backing that he had in the other movies or the ability to buy like a rocket engine, you know, on the other previous iterations of the Batmobile. So this one, it's more like a car that a guy would build in his garage, like with replaceable panels. So if he hits something, he can just like cut one panel off and weld a new one on and just back out on the street. And so it was like, again, the whole movie was really about being a practical Batman. And yeah, so I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really neat. I wasn't digging the look of the Riddler first off, but he grew on me, and I kind of like it.
See, I want to see it, but I'm just not ready for 3 hours.
It is 3 hours, which is a very long time. My daughter had 2 bathroom breaks.
What did I miss?
Yeah. So, but no, it was good. I really enjoyed it. Even more so than I thought I was going to. I don't think it's going to win any awards. But as far as like Batman movies, it's right up there.
Maybe I'll see it. Probably not.
You should see it.
Oh, should I? Three hours.
It's 3 hours, but if you think of it like that, it's really not that much to go and see it.
It's true.
You're getting your money's worth.
Oh man.
Yeah. It was good though. And, actually I think it's starting next week. It's like half scene points to go to the movies.
Oh, okay.
So if you got scene points, then, you can go see her for half price. Three hour movie. It's like tripling up your fun there.
I still think that the last movie I saw in theaters was it New Mutants? It might have been New Mutants.
Oh, yeah, so
a couple years back.
Like back in late 2020, early 2021.
I think you went and saw that, right? Were you there?
I did not see that one with you guys. No.
I think maybe Marty and Chris were like a few rows ahead of me.
Okay.
Because I definitely saw it with my one friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies. I have some movies to talk about, comic book movies, since we're on the topic of movies.
Sure, what you got?
I whipped out my copy of Faust on DVD.
Oh, nice.
Yes. This is the one I think we talked about before, because Martin hadn't seen it and I was like, oh, you should watch it. And then he skipped through. He's like, what is this?
Is it animated? I've never seen it myself.
This is live action where people really a lot of people will say it feels like a cross between The Mask and Spawn.
Okay.
Because it came out, I think, a couple years after Spawn did. And yeah, they really didn't know the tone of the movie, where it is dark. It's very adult. But then there's like weird, like he's in a rubber suit and it looks very rubbery. And the guy has like Jim Carrey face the entire time, the main actor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is really good. But yeah, very adult. And it's not good, but it's like one of those bad good movies. Like it's so much fun, just a guy running around stabbing people. But when you watch it, you'll feel the Spawn, like you're like, oh, this is like a ripoff of Spawn. Mm-hmm. Even though the Faust comics came, I think, like 7 or 8 years before Spawn did.
They were early 80s,
yeah, like 80 something.
Yeah, and then Spawn was like 92 or 93.
Yeah.
So with that one, I would expect it to have more of like a Hellraiser feel. Like that's where they should have went with it. I mean, obviously some of those costumes were like a little, you know, cheesy too, like the Chatterer and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that would be my take on, like, if I was going to direct a Faust movie, that would be where I would go with it. And I mean, I have like a few of the comics, so I haven't read them all. I only have bits and pieces of it, but I have read it, and it would be like a better Hellraiser feel than like The Mask or even Spawn.
Yeah. For the comics, I think I have like 1 through 10, and then issue like 11 and past are like just low print runs. So it's like, good luck finding them. And if you do, they're so expensive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me, my friend Cody has all the Akira Marvel Epic trade paperbacks that they released. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think they colored, I think those are in color, but people like say like, oh, issue one's worth so much money. It's like, no. The last 5 issues are worth tons of money because there was like a 2-year span. I think it was like 1 or 2 years where they didn't print any volumes. And they're like, well, I guess we should put out these last few to make people happy. And they were just like the tiniest print runs, because who wants them at that point?
Oh yeah. Well, that becomes a big issue. Back when I think it was like around the early 2000-ish, Marvel did a series and it was called Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk.
Yes.
And so they released like the first 2 issues, I think, and then didn't release anything else for like a long time. And then they re-released those same issues with second prints, and then they finished the series. But if I'm not mistaken, it was like a year later. So I had the first two issues and I'm like, whatever happened to that series? And then all of a sudden I got issues one and two again. And I'm like, what is this? So now I got the first and second prints of them, but I do have them all now. But yeah, there's nothing like seeing the Hulk tear Wolverine in half and throw him across a mountain.
And wasn't that the joke too, that Wolverine like had to crawl his way to the other half of his body? He's like, it took me a year, guys. and that's half of the joke of the book. Like the third issue couldn't come out because he didn't get to his body yet.
Took too long to get it there.
I think Kevin Smith's Black Cat and Spider-Man had the same thing where he's like, issue one and two are out, guys. Issue three is coming. And it took him years. He's like, I guess I should finish this series.
I don't know. I guess, like, I just don't understand the laziness. I don't want to like pound on these guys, because I know they're busy, and he's doing like especially Kevin Smith, he does like a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you don't have time to finish four issues, you probably shouldn't have taken the project on.
I always feel like when you have the mini series, like that's your idea. You've pre-plotted what your plot is, what your story is. And then you can just say like, here's what the story is. Somebody finish this the Marvel way, where the artist just gets that synopsis, draws all of it, and then someone just plops in all the dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that pretty much is the Marvel formula, I think. And it seems to have worked quite well. I mean, it worked good for Stan Lee, not so well for Jack Kirby, but.
What do you mean? Jack Kirby went on to great things. He went to Topps Comics and did all those, like, what was it, like Captain Glory? I think the one guy's name is. There's a bunch of horrible Topps comics that he did.
Yeah. Topps had some weird stuff, like X-Files. Like, I don't even know how well this stuff actually sold. Like, they did Jurassic Park.
GoldenEye. What else did Topps do? That one issue of GoldenEye that says one of three, and issue two never came out.
Yeah, they did, like, Topps did weird stuff. Some of that stuff's expensive now.
Yeah, it always felt out of place. Like, when you'd see a Topps comic, you're like, don't they make cards? That'd be like if, like if Flair or Upper Deck started to have comics. You'd be like, eh.
Yeah.
Or which card company bought Marvel at one point? Was that Flair?
Probably. Yeah. Because I know that they used Flair for a while for some of their X-Men cards. But as far as who actually owned them, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think, like, well, probably most comic book collectors know DC was owned by like whoever, and then Warner Brothers bought them, and they've owned them forever. Marvel jumped hands how many times? Like, so many.
Yeah.
All I know is what Toy Biz owned them at one point.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Like two that guys
explains the crappy toys anyways.
Toy Biz owned Marvel at one point. Not the Ron Perlman, but a different guy owned Marvel at one point. I don't even know, like, I'm surprised Stan wasn't like, I'll buy Marvel Excelsior. Like, that's usually what happens. Like, a creator that has tons of money is like, give me it, it's mine. But yeah, I guess, well, I don't know what his financial situation was.
I don't know. At one point they were paying him seven figures, so
yeah, it's like.
And he wasn't even editing or doing anything at that point. He was mostly just like a hype man, but he did his job really well. And he was out there in the public face. Like, as far as like other people who kind of do the same thing, it would be like Dana White from the UFC or like Vince McMahon from WWE, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those guys are like serious hype men, and not typically what you would think of like as the leader of a company, right?
Yeah.
So
when you mentioned WWE, it reminded me of when Vince bought WCW back in like 2001, and Chris Jericho commented on it saying when he found out how much they paid for it, he's like, I could have bought WCW. I didn't even know about this, because they got it for so little. Like, I think it was like, from what I remember, like $6 million, which okay. Yes, that is a lot of money. We don't have that. But for these wrestlers who are on guaranteed contracts, and they got like, they were being paid millions of dollars a year. They're like, I could have got all the trademarks, all the video library, all of like the rings, the stages, like you get so much for that.
Yeah.
And he's just like, man, I could have owned it.
Yeah. Well, and then you get like all the rights to the other stuff. Like, and it's not really comic stuff, but like the video games and t-shirts, if they did cards, any of that stuff, like all that stuff now belongs to you. So they can reprint and do whatever they want with that stuff.
I definitely had wrestling cards when I was little. Of course. Why not?
Yeah. That's, you know, that how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Out of all the cards I ever had, wrestling was not one of them. I remember one time as a kid, we were in a subdivision and somebody had taken like the entire set of the Star Wars cards and just like thrown them everywhere. Oh. And I was like, I was the happiest kid ever picking up all these Star Wars cards. Like, oh, look, I found another one. Oh, there's another one over here.
I remember I went to a friend's house to trade cards with him and he had basketball cards. And this was the first time that I had ever seen basketball cards because I didn't even know the thing. And I'm like, there's basketball cards. Why? Like as a kid being like, why? That's silly. Me with like my superhero cards. And I think I had some hockey and some baseball cards.
Yeah.
But I was like, basketball? Really?
I have a couple of basketball. I have a couple of football. Majority of it was hockey cards.
Mm-hmm.
I think like at that time in my life, it was probably when I was most into hockey as well. You know, like you'd had the cards, you knew all the players, you knew all of the teams, you knew all the stats on the back of the cards. Mm-hmm. You'd sit around with your buddies at lunchtime and talk about like who was on which team and blah, blah, blah. And it was just cheesy, but fun.
Yeah. My grandfather bought my brother and I, it was an album. Like I shouldn't say an album, the binder, it was all black. Then it had, had the NHL logo, but I feel like it had a goalie mask logo on it as well.
Okay.
And I think it was like 92-ish because Gretzky was with the Kings, maybe.
Oh, probably.
I know nothing about hockey, so it's just me being like, oh, it's hockey cards. And my brother and I just wanting all of the trophy cards where they just had like the Stanley Cup trophy card and then like the other ones, one that looked kind of like a maple leaf, but it wasn't.
Yeah, they had the Calder trophy and the all. Yeah. I think that was pro set. I think that was probably have those ones too. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's pro set. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Me looking at them like, I don't even know where those went. It's like anything as a kid, you're like, I don't know where all my stuff went.
Yeah. I had some pretty cool stuff and I don't know where any of it went. Like, I used to have like, I didn't have all of like the, you know, those early 80s, like Justice League figures. Mm-hmm. I used to have like the Flash and Superman. And I think I had Batman. I couldn't tell you where any of them are or where they went. I have no idea.
Oh, yep. Toys.
You Mom traded sold them at the yard sale.
Traded them with friends for something stupid that you later threw out.
Yeah.
That was me.
I still have tons of G.I. Joe stuff, though. I like my G.I. Joes.
You kept all
I just, what's that?
You kept all that stuff?
Yeah, I kept majority of them. And then I even just got some cases, like plastic snap cases. And I've got all the guys in the plastic snap cases. So now I got to go through my giant box of weapons and try and figure out who's complete and who's not complete.
I only have one toy from my childhood, being like mid to late 30s now. And it's a wrestling figure. I have my Kevin Nash toy that I had when I was in elementary school. Because the girl, Jessica, was like, can I look at him? She's playing with him. And she broke his leg. I'm like, how do you break his leg already? but if you squeeze his legs, his arms would go like this because you powerbomb people.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then my dad just super glued it back for me. So now he has one leg that's super stiff. But yeah, I still have him like in my storage locker. He's just hanging out in there.
Nice. Yeah, I have a bunch of toys from when I was a kid. And then I have a bunch of toys that I didn't have when I was a kid. So...
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, I got my Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus, and
you know. I have Beast Wars figures, and I think that's it now. Is the newest stuff? Oh, and then I bought the Max from Comic Alley Toys. Okay. They had a loose one. I'm like, give me the Max. And they're like, what was it? I think his something was broken on his waist or something, and I just lined it up with some glue, and I'm like, there we go. He's just gonna stand there anyways. He can be like one solid piece. I could care less.
Yeah.
Speaking of. The Max.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the Max, the MTV cartoon, which is spectacular. And there's rumors that they're going to do a Max movie still, which if it ever comes out, I'm selling my CGC number one. Like it's out, it's sitting there. It's the only CGC I have left, 9.8. But I'm like, there's going to be a Max movie. I know it. And then I can go to college.
Nice. I've got I'd like to see a Pitt movie. I think that would be fun.
Oh,
I've got the Pitt in 9.8 too, but
yeah,
it's never gonna.
I'm surprised Savage Dragon hasn't had a movie yet.
You'd think by now that, you know, Eric Larson would have pulled some strings and tried to get a Savage Dragon movie going.
And I know who would play him.
Oh, yeah?
It'd be The Rock.
Oh, please, no. I mean, I like The Rock, but I'm starting to get a little rocked out. Like, he's in everything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm almost glad that he's not going to be in the new Fast and Furious movies because I'm kind of tired of looking at him.
I think I've seen the first Fast and Furious. I haven't seen any of the other ones.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I was one and done.
From like five onward, it's like, it just becomes like a Michael Bay movie. It's like, what can we blow up? How big can it be? It's enjoyable, but it's cheesy and it's fun. And then Paul Walker passed away and it's not the same. It lost a lot of the dynamic when he passed. So
all I remember from the first one is that they're stealing the same thing as the foot soldiers from the first Ninja Turtle movie, which was tube TVs. I'm like, why are they stealing tube TVs?
It was 2001, man. DVD players were the bomb.
Yeah. It was easy to get the electronics. It's like, no guys, no.
Yeah, no. It's when they pull open the back of the truck and you're looking at it, it's like, that might actually be worth something now because it's antique.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, I don't think that holds up that well, but still, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun. They should have had it full of comic books or something.
Oh, are there any comic book heist movies other than comic book villains?
I don't really think so. I haven't seen it in a while, but like Coyote Ugly, the guy buys studio time for the girl with an Amazing Spider-Man 129.
I saw that movie in theaters for a friend's birthday when we were like little, and it was a chick flick in disguise.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. But there's a comic book in that one, but really there's not that many. You're kind of frowned upon. I think seeing like Henry Cavill come out and be like, yeah, I read comics and I play D&D, you know, and then Joe, I'm gonna butcher his last name. I'm not even gonna try. You know who I'm talking about.
Joe Piscopo?
No.
No.
Joe Man.
Oh man. Danny. Yeah. She can't hear me. I was gonna ask her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
The guy from True Blood. Is he in True Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was he was a wolf in that one.
Mm-hmm.
A werewolf. But yeah, he was he's a big D&D guy too. So it's kind of nice to see it getting representation just from like, aside from the overweight sweaty guys who are in their mom's basement, who go to cons and stink up the show.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to see them get like other kinds of, you know, healthy representation for what's going on. So
as big as comic book movies are right now, there's still that stigma of the comic book nerds. Like you can see
of the
all
readers.
These.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we don't matter to, I don't say society, but it's still, if you saw someone sitting on a bus reading like a comic, you'd probably be like, oh, nerd.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's a jock wearing like a Superman shirt or a Captain America's like, yeah, my buddies and I are gonna go see Batman tonight.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys want to read the books? Like, no, that's lame and stupid. Like that's still the stigma regardless.
It kind of still is. And I don't know where that comes from because these guys who, never maybe picked up a book are now so invested in these movie characters that you'd think that it would kind of trickle backwards, but they have no interest in reading. And, you know, they just like the movies and they like that character. And then they like slam on the guys that read the books, but that goes the other way too, right? You get the guys who read the books and they're like, you know, nothing about Captain America. He did this in issue. And the guys are like, I don't care what he did. Like, he just grabbed a helicopter, man. It was awesome.
I'm just imagining someone like me who isn't heavily into the MCU, hearing people talking about like comic book characters, and me being like, "Oh, sweet! Like, which issue are you talking about?" Well, we're talking about the movies. I'm like, "Well, that's not canon. It didn't happen that way in the comic books." Which actually just made me think: when you go to like Chapters, let's say, and you see the novel that's now based on a movie and they have that sticker on there, be like, now on HBO, Marvel and DC never really did that for their trade paperbacks, where like, let's say Civil War, like they didn't slap a sticker on and be like, hey, this is based off, like the movie's based off this comic loosely, very, very loosely, but, or even not just by name.
Yeah. Or even like Old Man Logan, right? Like the when they said that movie was coming out, that miniseries like skyrocketed. But I'm like, they can't do that miniseries because Fox doesn't own any of those characters. Like none of them.
No.
Like, absolutely none of them. You know, the Hulk, She-Hulk, and Doctor Doom, all that. They own, well, they might have still owned Doctor Doom. But like very rarely did they own any of those characters that had any significance in the Old Man Logan story.
Yeah, but
that didn't stop the books from getting to be stupid pricing.
Old Man Logan, the Logan movie, could have been so much better if it was just Sabretooth instead of cloned Wolverine. So much better. Like, why would you even waste it? Or if it was Omega Red. Like, you had so many characters you could have used. Let's just do another Wolverine. It's like, no, no, thank you.
Yeah, a younger Wolverine.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's kind of like Gemini Man, right? Like, you know, there's so many actors, so let's have two Will Smiths, right?
Three Will Smiths. I'm seeing double.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have not seen that movie. All I know is that that's a major spoiler. I'm sorry, but there's like three Will Smiths in it. Apparently, I don't know because I haven't seen it.
It's actually pretty good. I've seen it. Yeah, we went to the theater and watched it, and then I've seen it on Netflix when it was on Netflix. But yeah, it's okay.
Because I know there's three Will Smiths, is it still worth it for me to watch it?
Yeah, that doesn't even really matter. It's kind of like, I mean, they show them in the previews, right? So it's not like it's a secret. But it's more the backstory of like how you get to that.
Oh, so, okay.
And then what you do when you get there. So it's still a good story. And I did enjoy it, but they sure are doing a lot of deep fake stuff these days, like making old guys young. Like we just watched Ant-Man the other night and they take Michael Douglas and de-age him like 50 years. Cause man, he looks old in that movie. And, they were using that a lot more, you know, the de-aging rather than recasting, you know, as a younger person. So in one sense, you know, it doesn't look terrible, but occasionally it looks real bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the whole de-aging. Just get new actors. It's okay. You can get, well, they have, who's the dude that plays Luke Skywalker now? I don't know his name.
Young Luke Skywalker? Well, right now I think they're using just a lot of CGI, but it's going to be I had it, and that's Sebastian Stan. The Winter Soldier.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. You should see pictures of him side by side with Luke at the same age. They're like twinsies. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
That's the thing, that once you commit to a certain character playing, or a certain actor playing a character, then if you ever replace him, people get mad. Because I assume that the MCU is going to be kind of like James Bond, where you just have a new person playing the character. Even though James Bond to some people is a code name, so when he dies, they just put a new person. Yeah. It's like, you're James Bond, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, I think people get really attached to the characters, and then like, for instance, Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. That's going to be a big one because they're recasting Wolverine.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot of people who are kind of butthurt because they can't picture anybody else.
Well, they could do, you talk about one of my favorite TV shows. They could do a Sliders type thing where you get Hugh Jackman to come in for one movie, and they meld him with another actor to create a new actor. Cause that's what they did in Sliders. They had Jerry O'Connell and I think his brother, and they merged them in a portal going to another planet. And then a new actor played them merged as a new character. But you could just merge Wolverines and be like, oh, there's a new Wolverine.
Oh, I mean, they could do all kinds of crazy stuff. But I just think that it doesn't matter what they do, somebody's going to be upset.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be somebody who's like, can't we have somebody new? Like, they're talking about Patrick Stewart being Professor X. And some people are like, man, he's getting too old.
You have James McAvoy already. Like, you have somebody. Well, this is the thing,
right? And then have you seen, there's a meme on Facebook and there's I don't know the British guy's name, but he does like interviews with celebrities. And so he had on Patrick Stewart and oh my goodness, the guy who played Magneto. All of a sudden his name is left my head.
Ian McKellen.
Yeah. Okay. He had them on. And then he had on the guy who plays young Magneto and James McAvoy. He had them on. And they happened to be sitting in the same positions on the couch. And it says world's longest interview, right? Because it takes them from there to the end. But again, the timeline doesn't fit, right? Like you've got, they age horribly in like 10 or 15 years from James McAvoy to Patrick Stewart, right?
So worse than Obi-Wan from episode 3 to 4.
Yeah. So it's going to be I have a feeling that he's going to look really old as it goes through that series, because they kind of got to age him up. But even like when they demasked Anakin Skywalker or Darth Vader to see Anakin Skywalker, like that dude was like 75 years old. The guy that was Sebastian Shaw, I think.
Is that his actual name? Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pretty sure that was his actual name. The actor that was, yeah. And pretty sure that was him. But he was like in his 70s. Like, so when they take off the mask, he really is an old geezer. But when they did episode 3, and then it's like, well, how much time went by? Like, are we talking like 50 years? Like, where did Luke and Leia come from?
It's like, yeah, because Luke was like, what? Like, he's a teenager, like, let's say 20 in episode 4.
Yeah.
So how much time passed?
I think he's supposed to be like 18 or something in that. Now, I think I think he was actually old. The actor was older, but I think that was kind of what they were aiming for the age-wise. But I don't know. Strange.
I'm okay with them. Don't use Patrick Stewart. He's like 90.
Well, this is the thing, right? And then you end up with like the Harry Potter thing where the main actor dies because I'm not wishing it, but like, when you get to be 90 years old, like how many movies does he have? So that he does one movie and then he passed away and then you have to recast anyways.
Yeah.
Like,
I always tell everyone, I was like, I wish that the new Dumbledore came in and redid all the scenes from the first guy so they could edit the movies, because it is jarring at first.
Yeah.
And first Dumbledore is so sleepy. Like, he was barely alive on set. He had no charisma whatsoever. But new Dumbledore, he's just like running around.
Yeah. And he's younger too. Like the second Dumbledore was younger than the first one. And I think they cast that way on purpose, right? Because they didn't want to have the same issue again.
Oh my God.
Like, I kind of get why they didn't want to go back and take the other guy out of the movie, but yeah, they should have done.
So what you're saying is they didn't want to make the Harry Potter franchise like Milo and Otis.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody gets that reference, which if you do, good job. Lots of cats and dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Except with those, you can't tell the difference.
No, you can't. No, the cat and dog playing with the bear, they lived.
Not so much, eh?
What about and they went over a waterfall? Yeah, they lived.
Yeah, there was no pets harmed in the making of that movie.
No, not at all. Ooh.
So who do you think we have to petition to get a Savage Dragon movie?
Oh my God. Well, it's like, that's all creator owned. So I'm sure he's been like pitching it for the longest time.
I don't know. It's not like the new Spawn movie where you see updates like every 3 months. Yeah. So honestly, I don't know if they ever did. Like,
I'll be that person who when I saw a newer copy on the shelf, I was just like, they're still making this, are they? Cause I've never read an issue. So,
oh no.
No, yeah, I've never read it. I know that
it's not exactly comics code approved.
If yeah,
you know what I mean.
Did Image ever use the comic code?
No, I don't think so.
Good, good.
Yeah, no, I don't think they ever did. That's more of a Marvel and DC thing. And I honestly, I think a lot of it is just carryover. Like companies like Avatar have definitely never used the code.
Or like Boneyard Press. It's like, no, I mean, we can't use that.
Yeah, you know, Avatar, they pretty much show the inside out of a person, right? Like it's, and Marvel, they're not really allowed to do that. So
see, because it's just about having a rating on the book. Well, not even a rate. Now it is a rating. So when you pick up a Marvel book, it'll say like teen on it. So they have their own process. I don't know, like, because I don't buy DC Comics. Do they have their own like rating?
I don't know. You got the wrong guy on the show for that.
Martin, where are you? Martin, we need your help. I'm just surprised that like for comic books, they got rid of the rating system, or not the rating system, but the what was it called? The ACC or the, no, the CA Comic Authority Code, or
Comic Code Authority?
Yeah, CCA. I'm just thinking of the logo where it's like, looks like a CA and a C. They got rid of that, but you still have video games use ESRB, movies use what, MPAA. So, and those are just businesses that you have to pay. Like the MPAA, they censor your movies. They rate them as well. Like there's a great documentary, This Film Is Not Yet Rated, which goes into that, which is amazing. Watch it if you haven't. I'm just surprised no one's done a documentary like covering the CCA, like in depth.
Yeah. They did do a lot of like, there's a lot of stuff about like pre-code comics, you know, like EC Comics and even the... what the heck is the name of the new chapter house? Like the
Lev Gleason.
Yeah, the Lev Gleason books of like the 40s and stuff. Like they did True Crime and stuff like that. Or was it True Detective? I can't remember. Something like that. Whatever it was. So they had that and they used those books as well. But they talked about like how what was influenced, you know, like people holding severed heads and that kind of stuff. And
do you, and, Mr. Gaines, do you think this is in bad taste? No, I don't. I think if you showed a little bit lower, it would be in bad taste. Like an actual quote. I have the Tales from the Crypt documentary DVD, like double disc set. Amazing. It has all those interviews. And I've watched it so many times of Max Gaines be like, I invented the horror comic book and I'll take responsibility. And you're like, no, don't say all this stuff, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, don't say that.
No.
And that's like part of why like Morbius is the way he is, right? He's the living vampire.
Because you're not allowed to have
vampires. Because they weren't allowed to have
a dead vampire. Yes. Oh my God.
It was against the code to have a dead vampire.
Superheroes have to, you have to obey your parents. That was one of the things. You had to obey police officers. That's why, like, I don't know, like when Batman got really lame, I guess, is when the code came in. And you're like, I guess Batman's not like, just doing his own thing. He's talking to the police now.
Yeah. And then, but Marvel didn't seem to like go on it as maybe as stringent as DC. Cause you know, you always had like the Punisher, right? You know, who's willing to shoot first and then ask questions later. And DC didn't really get into that until like the 80s, you know, with like Vigilante. And then, they came out with Lobo, which was supposed to be like a spoof of Wolverine, believe it or not. And he exploded into something that they were not expecting. And then they were like, oh my goodness, we have this character who we made it as a joke and people loved it.
If anything, like Lobo is more akin to Deadpool than he is to Wolverine at this point. Like, I don't know at this how, point, yeah, like how big Lobo is. I'm surprised they haven't done that. Like get I'm trying to remember his name, the Guardians of the Galaxy director who just did Suicide Squad,
James Gunn.
Yes, get him to do a Lobo movie if you want, like to shoot a character off. Like tell him, like, here's Lobo, go bat poop crazy.
Somebody did a Lobo movie like back in the early to mid 90s. It was called the Lobo, the paramilitary special. It was literally based on the paramilitary special comic book, which is Lobo goes hunting Santa Claus. And it, like, as wacky as that sounds, it is, it's probably like blue makeup, smoking the cigar, long hair, crazy, you know, just a ton of fun. Hard to find. Cause I think it was like a school project or something.
Oh.
It did use a big name actor. The guy who I can't think of, I don't know what his name is, but he played Latimer in The Program. If you've ever seen The Program, it's a football movie.
Okay.
So, but this dude is huge. And so he fit the part really well. But yeah.
I'm thinking of like 80s Lobo, and the only person who I can visualize playing him is Gene Simmons.
Oh, ooh. Ooh.
that's me being like, yeah, Gene Simmons could play Lobo.
No, not so much. More like Venom with that tongue, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. When we were talking about the comic code, I just thought about the time when Stan Lee was like, we want to do comics and the parents want me to do ones like anti-drug. So he made the anti-drug comics.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you can't have this. You can't have drugs. That kids are going to do drugs. He's like, I'm not telling them to do drugs. I'm telling them to stay away from drugs. So I put those comics out without the code.
Yeah.
Oh, Stan.
Yeah. And then what was his name? Neil Adams, when he did the
The Speedy.
Yeah, the Speedy, the when Green Arrow catches him, you know, shooting up.
My ward is a junkie.
Yes, that issue right is, was not code approved. That was not code approved. But again, stories like that needed to be told. And I think the big thing that happened with comics was the code coming in. It then viewed comics as a kid's property. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, comic books were just for whoever wanted to read them. But then when they were like, well, all of this stuff, we're now directing them to kids. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's my take on it. It just feels like that was the point where comic books became for kids, and adults who read comic books are just childish.
Yeah. There's a great documentary I have on DVD. I'm trying to remember if it's Comic Book Confidential, where they interview like the underground comic guys. I can't remember which person it was, but he was drawing Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Like, they're not Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, they're mice, but they're like doing different sexual acts to each other, and like Disney sued him for like $1 million. And obviously that wasn't code approved. I don't know where I'm going with this. It just reminded me of it. It was just the whole thing of like, that is Mickey Mouse. It's like, okay, then it's Mickey Mouse. Like, then you, that's Disney confirming this is that character when it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden people ran out and buy his book because now it's Mickey and Minnie, right?
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's the CGC first sexual act between Mickey and Minnie Mouse.
Nice. Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you remember watching some of the stuff about when they put the parental discretion or the parental advisory on the music.
Oh,
because of like bad language and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like D. Snyder came out, he had a great compelling argument, and it was a really interesting court case. In the end, they got the sticker that they wanted. And I can't remember who the artist was, but he said, thank you, Al and Tipper Gore. My records will sell like hotcakes now, because now the kids had a reason, because they're like, I'm going to buy that because my parents don't want me to have that because it says whatever. So again, if you close down a market specifically on one thing, it's mm-hmm. going to expand.
When my friend and I would go rent video games from Microplay back in the mid 90s, we would literally look at the covers and be like, okay, this one's rated M. And then we'd flip it over, and vivid memory, we rented D2 for the Dreamcast that said nudity and sexual content. We're like, sold. And that's what we rented. And yeah, we got what we were promised. And that's like, it's literally telling you like, this is what's in it. The context, yeah. Like, you don't know how it's going to happen, but you're like, yeah, yes, we're not supposed to have this, but thank you for rating it and telling us like, this is 17 plus
exactly
this stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's looking at one of my Blu-rays to see it's a Criterion. So I don't know.
There's probably no rating on that one.
Ghost World, which is a great movie. Thank God.
I have not seen that one.
Have you not? It's so
no.
good.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. It's Scarlett Johansson, Thora Birch, yep, Steve Buscemi. Amazing. So much yeah. fun.
Yeah. No, I've never watched it. I've seen it on, you know, whatever. And I've never actually sat down and watched it. But I mean, I've seen some bad comic book movies, so maybe I should give it a shot. Like, ooh, I saw the Batman or the Captain America movie from the 90s where the Red Skull is Italian. I watched that one.
Is that with the rubber ears or the bike helmet?
No, that was it was the rubber ears, but not the motorbike helmet.
Yeah, there was one where he fakes being carsick a few times and steals people's cars.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not feeling it. Hold on a second. And he just runs to the car and drives away. You're like, that's Captain America, apparently.
He's a car thief. Yeah, those were some bad movies. The comic book movies have come a long way. I can remember kind of sitting around like with my buddies and stuff, and we'd be talking about who do you think would play this guy? Who do you think would play that guy? And like in our limited scope, you're like, yeah, well, I think, Arnold would play a good guy like that. And then you got Sylvester Stallone as this guy, right? And it's like, you know, I'm glad they didn't make those movies back then because those poor guys.
We did get Stallone butchered in a comic book movie. We got Judge Dredd.
Saw that movie in the theater.
Oh, I've never seen it. I've just seen clips.
You've never seen it?
No.
You should watch it at least once.
My friend, who is a big Judge Dredd fan, says, like, he even said, like, the Rob Schneider character is fine.
Yeah.
He said, like, it's comic book accurate in a way. Like, it's not horrible. Yeah. It's just as a movie, it doesn't work that well. But he's like, yeah, it's pretty accurate. Still not good.
Yeah. It's, they run into this family of cannibals. And apparently, like, they are exactly like the comic books. Like, they're taken right off the page. They look like them, they speak like them. It's incredible. But unfortunately, they paid so much for Sylvester Stallone and they didn't want to cover his face, so they had to come up with a plot not to cover his face with a mask, which is why I like the new Judge Dredd movie. That new one's amazing. We saw it in the theater. I've watched it, I can't even tell you, countless times on Netflix or whatever it's on.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, that would have been cool though, especially when they were like on that
being thrown off the edge and going down, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, especially when like because it's trippy enough when they're on the drugs, you know, getting thrown over the balcony, and it's like moving slow motion. I can't even imagine what that would be like, you know, with that and 3D. That would be kind of something cool. But no, I didn't see it in 3D, but I did see it in the theater. And there was rumors that because of the life that it found on streaming, that they were going to make a second one.
Yeah.
And I think Carl Urban was more than down to make another one. I think he really enjoyed the character. I think he actually understood the character better than like Stallone, but
I always heard that they were going to do like a TV series, and his thing was like kind of like Nathan Fillion, if I say his name right, where he was like, I'll be here for, I think it was Uncharted, like I'll do the Uncharted movie, just let me know. Like, and it's the same with Carl Urban, where he's just like, I'll do more Dredd, just let me know when I'm there as well. And I wish they would.
Yeah. Actually, I saw an interesting interview with Mark Wahlberg about the Uncharted movie. So he's in it, obviously. And I guess they've been planning it for a while. And I guess they had talked about getting like Robert De Niro and like some of these other like older actors. And so then he gets the phone call. And they're like, yeah, we're going to do Uncharted. We want you to do it. And he's like, okay, cool. Who did you get, you know, to play? And they're like, Tom Holland. And he's like, who the hell is Tom Holland? And then I guess, cause he thought he was going to be the young star of the movie. And it turns out that no, you have to grow a mustache now because you are not that part. Mm-hmm. So that I'm sure that was a bit of a shock to him, you know, to his system, but I guess that's what happens in Hollywood, right?
Yeah. I did read that Tom Holland wasn't happy with his own performance in that movie, cause he was paying attention. They're like, you have to look strong. So it's just like strong and cool. So it was him just concentrating on how he looked all the time. Okay. And he even said, like, I didn't like my performance because like I would swing somewhere and I would land and then I have to get up and be like, to look like almost like how The Rock would look after doing something like I'm The Rock.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy with his performance. He's like, I would do it differently. So if they do a sequel, like I assume they will. I don't even know if that movie came out yet, but
I don't know if it's out yet or not. Yeah. I want to see it. And I'm glad The Rock's not in it. Did I mention?
So you're not going to see Black Adam whenever that comes out?
I don't know. I'm kind of tired of because he really has like one character, and I think he's taken it about as far as it can go.
You're tired of the movies where he's just in a jungle wearing a tan shirt.
Yeah, and yeah. Enough baby oil to like, you know, kill a blue whale or something. I don't know.
Even in his early movies, like Walking Tall, I think might have been one of his first big ones.
Yeah.
And obviously like The Mummy, which, and then The Scorpion King.
Ugh. Yeah. In The Mummy, The Scorpion King was cool. And then they did the movie and I'm like, what happened to the bad guy, Scorpion King? Mm-hmm. Like, you got this guy who you hyped up in this other movie and you digitally put his face on a giant scorpion and it looked horrible.
Looked bad. Like,
horrible. And now you're going to make a movie and he's the good guy. And I'm like, I don't understand.
It made no sense.
No.
I'm hoping that, I miss the rated R superhero movies. And I'm not just talking about Deadpool. I'm talking about like Blade. Obviously The Punisher, Warzone, which is still like, I gush about it, the best Marvel movie ever made.
They love that movie.
They need to do another one. But
the biggest disservice they did to that movie, and I think it goes back to the theaters, they called it The Punisher 2. And they should not have. Because people were like, well, where's the guy from the last movie?
Yeah.
And I think if they'd have just called it like Warzone, it would have been so much better. I really like the fact they didn't make it an origin movie. They jumped right into it. The guy getting killed with the rocket pell grenade is awesome.
Just the parkour like, scene.
Yeah. Just yeah. Jumping between buildings and just poof, body parts everywhere.
Yeah. I own that movie, I think in two different DVDs. I have like a clamshell one. Then I have it on Blu-ray as well, because it's so good. And most people have never seen it. I'm like, no, you need to see this. Because people love Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane is great. Yeah. Ray Stevenson, let me tell you, mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah. And he's a big dude too, right? Like, so he's big, he's imposing. You actually get the feeling that if he really was in that situation, he could handle himself. Whereas Thomas Jane, like, kind of a different feel, right? Like,
yeah.
And I liked the Thomas Jane movie. Don't get me wrong. I went to the theater. We watched it multiple times. I own it like on DVD and Blu-ray. And it's a good movie. I didn't like that they drew out like the origin, you know, at the beginning of it, and you lose so much movie when you do that. But
The best scene in the Thomas Jane one is him fighting Kevin Nash, the wrestler.
Yeah,
the Russian. Oh my god, my friend and I first saw it. We knew Kevin Nash was in it. We're like, we don't know who he is. And we're watching it, and all of a sudden we're like, the Russian's Kevin Nash, because he had short hair, dyed blonde, no goatee. Yeah. That was such a good fight.
Yeah. And they had like prosthetics on his face too. So it didn't really look like you could tell it was him, but it didn't really look like him. And then he's at the bottom of the stairs with his head on backwards. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Just like boils from the water. Oh yeah. What a good movie.
Yeah.
They're still not as good as Warzone.
No, I liked Warzone. Yeah. And then what other, did you ever see the Spawn HBO cartoon stuff? Speaking of rated R Spawn stuff.
I have, just like you probably, I have all three DVDs for it. And those covers and cases do not match each other. Cause it looks like a Spawn movie. You're like, oh, this is Spawn 2 is on this and Spawn 3.
Yeah. And and it's flip over discs. Like, and they've never redone them on one disc, and it's like, really? Because it was huge.
Yeah, there was a steelbook re-release of it, actually.
Oh, was there?
Yes. I don't know if it's just the same discs inside, but I even looked at it, I'm like, dude, I should buy this. And I'm like, I already have it on DVD. If it was Blu-ray, maybe, but it might have been Blu-ray. It definitely was re-released. It was like don't know if it was a 10th anniversary set or 15th anniversary, but yeah, you should go look that up.
Yeah, I'll go check that out, because it's, I mean, it's fun to watch, but it's really annoying. I thought when I first popped it in after not seeing them for a long, long time, I forgot that one side is half the movie, and then I don't know, 6 or 8 episodes of the cartoon, and then you flip it in and the other side's on the other one. And I was like watching it, I'm like, where's the coffin scene? I put it in backwards. Trying to think of which movie it was. And I think it was Stargate. And it was like one of the original DVDs that they put out. And the size of it was so big that they had to put it on both sides. So you're watching Stargate, and then halfway through the movie, you have to turn the disc over and watch the other half.
That's what you do with laser discs. You don't do that with DVDs. That's a laser disc thing.
They did the same thing with DVDs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
fortunately, things are better.
Oh, much better. Well, we did it.
Nice.
I don't know if you stayed in this long, like, good for you. Good for us. We 2-man show. We came in with nothing, and we had great conversations.
Absolutely.
Chris, any last words?
No, I'm good, man. Have a good one.
Me too. We'll see everybody next week when other people are on with us, maybe.
Here's hoping.
Yes. Have a good night, everybody.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.